join me in prayers. Lord Jesus, this morning we gather together to worship you. Just like the song said, Hosanna, Hosanna, in the highest. You are worthy of our praise. We come before you this morning, we pray that your Holy Spirit will fill us, lead us into truth, and grant us the love coming from above, so that not only we understand your word, but also we will respond in loving actions for one another and for people in our community. Lord Jesus, we pray also that this morning you will open our spiritual eyes to illumine us so that we will see the marvelous wonder of your word. Open our hearts that we will receive each other warmly, that we will demonstrate to this world that is another kind of relationship, another kind of love that does not belong to this world and cannot be robbed away by what we can do for one another. Because you are the source of love. We pray that this morning as we gather together, some of us may experience the dryness, the exhaustion, the disappointment, the hurt, the pain, the puzzling of why life turned this way. We pray that you will answer us in your loving word. We pray that your presence will warm our hearts and secure us. We also pray for this world, as many things going on around us, the Pope visiting this country, the President of China visiting this country. There's a lot of things going on in this world, and also the refugee crisis in Europe. Lord, are you doing something to shake up the grip of the Muslim culture so that your gospel can take root in that place? We pray that your will be done. We pray that your church, us included, will walk in pace with you and co-work with you together. Use us as beacons of lights, hope for this world. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. Would you please remain standing as I read today's word for you? Today's word is coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 21 to 45. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 21 to 45. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately they were in their synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, Be silent, and come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various disease and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desert place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, Everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came up. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And the leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for I proved to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. That's the reading of God's word. Please be seated. This morning, the sermon title is The Cost of Authority. And in the summer, we conclude a series of sermons about connecting the disconnected to help us to understand what is the essence of church life and how do we relate to each other biblically. And after that series, we begin in September a new series on the Gospel of Mark. The title of that series is called The Urgency of the Good News. Why is it urgent? Because the book, Gospel of Mark, is the shortest among the Gospel books. Mark had a point to make. He contrasts and compressed a lot of details and just conveyed it to his reader just in a few words, because he was rushing the reader to the good news, that the good news in Jesus Christ cannot wait. Time is short. Life is precious. Commit to that good news. Believe in Christ and serve Him. Because Christ came not to receive our service, but in order to serve. That is the main point of the Gospel of Mark. So you will see, that in the past couple of weeks, we were preaching from chapter 1 on. You see that urgency. You see that God has sent forth John the Baptist to pave the way for Jesus. And the good news begins with repentance. Because without knowing what kind of trouble we are in, we would not be able to appreciate the good news. And that is the urgency of the good news. We also heard Jesus calling Levi last week. The calling of Levi demonstrated the kind of authority, the kind of teaching that Jesus put forth before his people is something that they never heard of. They never experienced. It's not that they never heard of the preaching of the Bible, but they never heard of a person who preached a message that he himself is one with the message. That was true with John the Baptist. When he preached the message of repentance, it shook the whole city. People came out to River Jordan to receive baptism from him. Why was that? Was his preaching, was his homiletic skill was excellent? No. Because he himself embodied the message. Now we come to Jesus and his teaching today, as you can see in this long passage, that Jesus' teaching was also with authority. There was a little girl, that probably was a while ago, I saw this story on the internet. Possibly it's a very true story. There was a little girl with his younger brother. One day, they went to a fairground with their father. So, entering the fairground, the father see that, oh, there's some kind of fun over there for adults, like playing with, you know, some game. And there's another part there. There's little zoos, little animals that, you know, they lay out the hay on the ground, fence it up, and then little animals like rabbits and goats and all these things there, and the kids can enter there to play. So the father thought, maybe I just give them a couple of coins and then they can go and play with that, and at the same time I can go over there to have fun with myself. So he decided, no, I said this a long time ago, because nowadays no parent would leave their children alone there. But at that time, they felt secure. So each of the child, he gave them a quarter, went there. And as he was approaching to the game that he wanted to play, he suddenly turned around and found out that his daughter was following him. So he turned around and said, "Why are you following me? Didn't you want to go and play with the animals?" The little girl looked at the father and said, "Yes, I want to, but it was 50 cents each child, and we only have one quarter. So I gave my quarter to my little brother so that he can enter into that." The father was moved because up at home, back in home, up on the mantle of the fireplace, there's a model for the family. So the father kneeled down and talked to the little girl. "I will give you 50 cents, but I'm touched. Thank you for doing this for your brother." Because our family motto was, you know, the two of them recite, "Love is action." Love is action. That was the family motto. Today in this text, you will see Jesus' love in action. The title of the sermon is Cause of Authority. You see that Jesus entered Capernaum. And on the Sabbath, he entered a synagogue in that city and was teaching. And what happened was his teaching was drastically different from what they experienced. The Jew in the synagogue probably hear teaching from rabbis, from the elders, about the Bible, about God's word, about God's revelation. But Jesus himself is the revelation. Jesus himself is one with God. So he carried a very different authority while he teach. And that is what Mark recorded here in verse 22. "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there were in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, 'What have you do? What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.'" Jesus did not yell at that demon-possessed man. The demon recognized who he is. And the demon immediately left the man when Jesus said, "Be silent, come out of him." His teaching coupled with his action. In the synagogue, people recognized and astonished at his teaching. But I think the most astonishment they experienced was after his teaching, when he was confronted with this demon-possessed man. Just a simple word, simple sentence. The demon left. The demon left him. And then Mark continued to record what happened. In verse 29, when he left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law ill with a fever. They told him about her, and Jesus lifted her hands and lifted her up. And the fever left her. And Peter's mother-in-law immediately served them. Another healing. Another touch with people with sickness. And further down, you see that in verse 40, there's a leper when Jesus went into another city in Galilee. And kneeling before him, and pay attention to what this leper said. "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved by pity, moved by compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." You see, Mark is building the case on Jesus' healing, one after the other. Cast out a demon with a simple sentence. Enter into Peter's home and heal his mother-in-law by holding her. And now come to the leper that kneeled before Jesus. And he said, "If you will, I will be clean." Jesus moved by compassion And this is a drastic action. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, nowadays, we touch each other very freely and, you know, easily. But back there, that kind of touch was serious. Because according to the Jewish law, the leper was a very unclean person. They were expelled from the community. Once they start to have this kind of skin condition develop, the system kick in. They have to depart the city, live somewhere outside of the city, together in that little community that everybody has leprosy. And when they come out, they cannot come out during the daytime. They only come out when the sun sets. And then when they come out, they have to cover themselves, all cover up. And if they saw someone coming from afar, they have to yell, "Unclean, unclean," declaring that I am unclean. Stay away from me. Can you imagine if you put yourself in the leper's shoes, live in the community, that everybody is living with decay every day? You wake up the next day, maybe the person sleeping next to you had an ear fall off. Because leprosy is the kind of infection that will ultimately damage the nervous system and your body, that it cut off your feelings. So you don't feel anything on your limbs, and gradually they fall off. It's a horrible condition. They've been wrung up in that community, away from the city, cut off from their community, cut off from their family, cut off from their relationship. And there was no hope. They were waiting for decay to kick in and build up day after day. And the law specifically stipulates anybody, if you ever touch one of those, you will become unclean. And you will have to go through a lengthy ritual in order to declare yourself clean. Especially for those who have religious responsibility. That was why the story about the Good Samaritan, that the priest and, you know, all these, they just passed by because they said, "Oh, I have a duty to perform. If there's someone there, I don't know whether he's dead or not. If I ever touch him, I will be unclean and I cannot perform my duty." That was the background of that. But Jesus moved with pity, moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Mark is telling his reader, yes, Jesus' teaching is with authority. But that authority comes with compassion. That authority is not something that is floating up 2,000 feet in the sky, untouched with all the pain and all the things going on in humanity. But rather, it's an authority that boldly enter into humanity, want to be part of them, even being defiled by it, by touching it, in order to bring forth healing. That is the authority that Jesus demonstrates. Not only is one with the Word, but also he's one with the Word with compassion. Oftentimes, we understand who God is. But sometimes we fall short in understanding not only God is almighty, but he's also loving and caring. Especially for those of us who are sitting here today, you come from a certain kind of background that you do not experience normal family life when you grow up. Or you've been hurt and bruised by experience by people's betrayal, hurt, and unkind. But Jesus demonstrates not only he has the authority, but he also has the compassion. He's willing to touch you. He's willing to touch me. He's willing to touch the most unclean area in our lives. Yes, it seems to be rendering him unclean. But that is the price that Jesus willingly and joyfully paid in order to cleanse us. He is the Lord who gives life. He is the Lord who transforms life. He is the Lord who cleanses life. Authority with compassion. Authority also with accountability. Verse 35, we see, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to the desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." You see, Jesus just cast out demons from a demon-possessed man, healed Peter's mother-in-law. His fame is building up. If it were me, I would say, let me stay here for a little bit while, longer. Let me ride on that momentum and continue the ministry. But Jesus did something peculiar. He rise up early in the morning before the sun's dawn, and then he went to a desolate place. What did he do? He prayed. He prayed to the Father. He derived his authority. He derived the direction of his ministry from the Father himself. We saw that earlier in chapter 1. When Jesus entered into the River Jordan to receive the baptism from John the Baptist, Jesus is the perfect one. He is sinless. And John Baptist preaching a baptism that is about repentance. We know that Jesus had nothing to repent. But we know that repentance, the word repentance, had two layers of meaning. One is, when I was walking in this old direction, sinful, selfish, but now I want to turn to another direction to embrace God's way and walk on God's path. So Jesus' baptism at least demonstrates on that second aspect, he is going to launch his ministry, his life, by embracing God's way, by embracing God's path. And he fully demonstrated in that temptation that Satan tempted him, "Do it your way, do it your way, do it your way." And Jesus repeatedly said that, "No, this is what God said. This is God's way. This is God's way, and this is God's way." So he's demonstrating that his authority is not a kind of authority running rampant by all by itself. But his authority is constrained, accountable to God the Father. That is the relationship of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son. They are equally glory, equally eternal, equally God. But in that loving relationship, God the Son submit to God the Father. That submission doesn't mean he's secondary to him, but rather is a loving submission. That kind of accountability that Jesus demonstrates. So you see that authority that Jesus demonstrates is in action, in compassion. It is in accountability. But that authority has a price. Mark is building up the crescendo for the reader that whatever Jesus did, healing, teaching, and all these things, is building the tension that someday down the road, the authority, the religious political authority, will be irritated by it, will be threatened by it. And the more he teach and the more he show his compassion in action, his authority in action, the more it will heighten the opposition from the leadership. Ultimately, will lead to his sacrifice. That is what Mark is building in this book. That tension is mounting chapter after chapter. And that mounting chapter, that mounting tension coming from what Jesus did. And you see that Jesus tried to stay in a low profile so that his mission can be accomplished. You see that in casting out a demon in the synagogue in verse 25. "But Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be silent and come out of him.' And an unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this, a new teaching with authority?" And his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. The demon, the unclean spirit, knew who Jesus was. And Jesus commanded him, "Be silent." I think at least Jesus is saying to the demon, you know, don't make a big sin, because that is not his time yet. And we see the same pattern in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, you always see that before the time, then it will say, "This is not my time, this is not my time." Jesus needs the time to build a ministry, to prepare for the cross. And he commanded the unclean spirit not to say anything. And you see that repeated with the leper. Down there, Mark's description is even more clear. In verse 42, "And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.'" So Jesus also commanded sternly to the leper, saying that don't say anything. Why did he do that again? I think not only he think that time is not right now, but also for the concern of the leper. Because, you know, if you raise someone who is dead, you raise someone who is sick, people can immediately see that. But if you say you cleanse someone with leprosy, they have to go through a lot of exam in order to declare that they are clean, to re-enter into the community. So the first step for the leper is to go to the local priest and allow the local priest to examine his body, all the skin, and then declare clean. And then later on, he probably need to make a trip to Jerusalem, to the temple, to make a sacrifice, an offering, in order to declare the total healing of that. So in other words, he had to walk through a process to be reincorporated into the community. So Jesus is saying that, don't say anything yet, just go and show. Go through that process so that you will be rejoin the community. Because not only just he's been cleansed by his physically, he needs to reconnect back to the community in order to be normal again. You see Jesus' concern about their condition. You see that compassion runs so deep. But also at the same time, Jesus sternly asked him, do not say anything. Yet, they make a big news out of it. When I read that, I have this in mind. I have a little question mark in mind. Jesus representing God. God is sovereign. Wouldn't God in his sovereignty foresee all these things, that when Jesus healed the sick, cast out the demon, and people will not obey what he commanded them, and rather spread out the news? I have that little question mark. How do I resolve that in God's sovereignty? But I think the answer lays here. There's a cause in authority. And Jesus is building his authority by teaching and by action, in love in action. And that authority caused him ultimately his life, because it will heighten the opposition coming from the enemy, from the leadership. There is a price to pay when we claim the authority of Jesus to serve others. There's a price to pay when we claim the authority of Jesus, claim the authority being a kingdom people to serve the world. For those of you who are involved in worship, that cost may be you have to live a transparent life. That whether it's on stage or down from the stage, you demonstrate certain kind of consistency so that people can be encouraged by your lifestyle and see what a true worshiper look like. For those of you in a small group, you are caring for one another. For those of us, we have this shepherding burden on our shoulder. We might need to pay the cost of sacrificing our privacy. Even sometimes blurring the boundary that we hold so dearly, that this is my private life, this is how I manage myself, and sometimes become messy, get our hands dirty in order to help others. That might be the cause of that kind of authority we claim from Jesus to serve Him and to serve His people. That may be the cause for those of us that you have the job of teaching, whether it's in junior high, in children's Sunday school, or in adult Sunday school, or in leading Bible study. What is that cause? That cause is, I'm not doing that just to satisfy my intellectual curiosity, but wrestle with the text and come up with some kind of leading question to help the group, to lead the discussion, to facilitate so that people not only understand the detail, the information about the Bible, but also taking those information and rub it into our lives to apply it with a shepherd's heart, not just a teacher's heart. That might be the cost that you need to pay in order to serve Christ and the people He loves. That might be a cost for us to pay when there's phone call in a time that we feel most inconvenient. That might be a cost for us to pay. That you might be bypassed by your boss in the next promotion because you stand firm, believe in what God teaches. There might be a cause for you to pay that in the office people will mock you behind your back because of what you stand for or call you names. There might be a price for you to pay walking in the school hallways. That people see that you are a Christian. You don't mingle with them. You don't curse with them. You don't say bad things about people with them. And they do not include you in the most in groups. There might be a cost to pay. But take heart. Because the very same Jesus, when He commanded the demon-possessed man, the demon, be silent, when He commanded the leopard, say nothing about that. But yet, they betray His command. That very same Jesus will be with you when you are paying that cost. That very same Jesus will be with you when you face persecution, pressure, stress coming from your colleague, your schoolmate, your friends. And when you labor in silence, when there's no one recognize what you have sacrificed, the very same Jesus is with you. Because He walked through that precisely Himself. He understands. And He is with you. So be encouraged to follow Jesus, to pay that cost for that authority, being a kingdom people, being a follower of Christ. It is not just for co-workers, deacons, pastors, elders. Is for all Christ's people. Because when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you already receive that authority. And He gives you that charge that great commission to bring the good news to the end of the earth, to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to disciple them. Whether it is one person or 100 person, it doesn't matter. There is a calling in your life to pay that price of authority, being a kingdom person, to serve God, to serve those God loves. And Jesus promised He will be with you to the end of the world. The very same Jesus who went through that heightening opposition, stepping up persecution, pressure, and all these things. He experienced that way before, and He understands, and He will be with you, and He will provide for you. In the 1980s, there was a story written by someone named Eric Feldman. He's speaking with a Chinese couple in Hong Kong while he's traveling, getting ready to travel to China. And he said a friend took him down to a narrow alley to a second floor apartment to meet a man recently released from prison in China. And Eric was pressed by some of his Christian friends to carry Bibles in his luggage into China. There is back in the 80s, China was not that open. So if you get caught, you probably would, if you are a foreigner, you get expelled. If you're not, you probably would be jailed. So he was very nervous. He was debating, and he was very fearful about that risk. So he's very hasn't decided. But when he encountered this couple, and he saw what he saw was an old man, probably in his 80s, couldn't even stand straight up. His friend led him up to that second floor apartment, opened the door, greeted by this old man with a big smile, and then invited him in and sit down. And then when he sat down, he saw there's another old lady behind the old man, and then the old lady was serving him a cup of tea. But by brushing through, passing by, he saw that this two old person, the old lady was like giggling with the old man. They were very demonstrated kind of intimacy that doesn't really seem usually in Chinese couple, particularly that old age. So he was wondering, and he was like a little bit smile on his face. And then the old man caught that. The old woman said to him, like, it's okay to smile and find it funny, because you know, we just get married. We cannot, they were holding hands and, you know, touching each other. So it's almost like a young couple, but it's very awkward in old age. So he said, you just got married. And then they tell him the story. Back in after the war, when communists took over China, this old man was a young man. He attended a seminary in Nanking City. When communists came, round them up, locked them up. One after other, the authority asked them to come up, say, denounce your Christian faith, and you go free. And he was engaged with his fiancée. He said no. He said that no for more than 30 years. Every year, they brought him up to that authority and asked him, renounce your Christian faith, you can go home and marry your fiancé. He said, no. So until in the 80s, when they were released, finally they met and they got married. That was a price they paid. To claim that authority to be kingdom people. And Eric asked him, that must be hard. And the old man responded, how can I betray Lord Jesus after all He did for me? After all the goodness He did for me, how can I betray Him? Eric found new strength to pack his luggage with Bibles. authority has a cost. Love in action. My dear brothers and sisters, what is the cost that you're going to pay for the authority that Jesus has given you to be kingdom people? Serve one another. Don't serve out of our own selfless. Sometimes our heart is so deceitful. Sometimes I went through that. I loved Bible teaching when I was in college, but purely to satisfy my intellectual curiosity. I never thought of my students in the class. It's later on when Christ pressed against my heart, you know, even before I became a pastor. We need little shepherds in classrooms. Whether you are teaching little kids, teenagers, adults, ask God to give you that shepherd's heart. Not only transmit knowledge, but transmit life. Ask God to give you that shepherd's heart, that you pick up the phone and call and care for the one that is distraught, that the faith is shaking. Loosen up your privacy. Let your life be a little bit messy. Get your hands a little bit dirty, so that people can be blessed by your sacrifice. The cause of authority. Love in action. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, we come before you this morning. May your word convict us. We've been in our comfort zone for such a long time. We want to protect ourselves. But you put yourself in vulnerability so that we can be saved by your grace. Give us a shepherd heart, so that we can serve others just like you serve us. May this local church, may this congregation reflect that love in action, cause of the authority that we are gladly pay. In Christ's name we pray together.